This is Cut to It with Steve Smith Sr., a production of The Black Effect and iHeartRadio. I'm Steve Smith Sr.
And I'm Gerard Littlejohn.
And this is Cut to It.
Cut to it. Cut to it. Let's get down to it. Cut to it.
We ask the questions you always want to know, but no one ever asks.
Let's cut to it.
I should know it's on. You ain't heard about it, then we're about to let you know. I should know it's on. It's on. Yeah. I should know it's on.
Exactly.
And he ain't playing that great of defense.
They play that Matador defense. Ole.
Heidi ho, neighbor.
You Ned Flanders now? Hi, Dilly ho, neighbor.
Hi, Heidi ho, neighbor.
What's up, man? What's on your mental today?
Everything.
Okay.
Everything.
Elab. I'm shortening it up.
Just talking, you know, right now with COVID, just disappearing. Just
it's gone.
Poof.
Oh, it's over for you?
It's poof. It's gone.
It's gone.
Right. Man, it's just, you know, being at kids' activities. And I'm just starting to, I think I'm starting to see myself a little bit. And so.
In what way?
Well, let me say this. I apologize to Peyton Smith. And probably Boston Smith. Man, I am currently, because I'm not passing. Terrible sports dad.
How so?
I have been one of those that, you know, I yell and scream, and I think my son's going to whatever sport. So if he's playing soccer to MLS tomorrow.
Okay.
Basketball to NBA currently. Mm. And the NFL definitely getting drafted next week.
Mm.
I've seen at my son's basketball events and also my oldest son's soccer events. And I was a terrible parent, man. Just yelling and, you know, just making this sport that they were participating in so unpleasurable.
Mm.
And it sucks to admit it. And it sucks to see myself because I've seen some of these dads. Man, I was watching some kids this weekend in basketball, watching some kids at some 7-on-7 tournaments. Bro, and you see some of these dads yelling and like just going after it over a catch.
Mm.
Get him! What the blankety blank? And I'm like, oh. And what was interesting is I was watching those parents. I wasn't thinking, oh, look how that dad's terrible. I wasn't thinking that. I wasn't thinking, oh, look. I was going, That's how it was.
Mm.
And I can't imagine how embarrassed my kids are, how deflated they are, how discouraged they are. And so it sucks. It really does.
What would you tell that parent now, whether it was you in the past?
Sit the fuck down. That's what I would really tell them. Like, and thank God nobody told me that.
Yeah.
Because it wouldn't have went well. But I'm being honest. I feel bad.
Mm.
I really feel bad at the way I behaved and how I was embarrassed for my wife. So it sucks. And especially as an athlete, a former athlete, I've lost all credibility as an athlete because it's like, well, we know you're a great athlete, Dad, but you're a dick as a father, especially in that area. I pick my son up, take him here and there, but then, you know, or I lecture him all the time about hard work and all that stuff. Man, it just sucks.
Hmm.
And so just kind of seeing that, and so I got to take a step back. But I can't go. So I'm battling between, do I say something to him to acknowledge what I've seen in myself, or do I not say anything and just act differently about it? And I probably have to do both. I have to acknowledge that and then over time really for him to see and trust that I am going to make those changes. So it just kind of sucks.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I get where you're coming from. Can I speak for myself?
Just speaking for myself. And
gosh. The one thing, don't say you were a terrible parent.
No,
don't
I'm
say
not
that.
I would. But here,
you did some things you don't like, and you got some stuff that you wish you could take back. But brother, I'll be around you. You're not a terrible parent, so don't even reinforce saying that. Don't say that shit no more, because you're not a terrible parent.
I appreciate it. It just is tough because how you operate on a sports field does leave. It's like when you drink a drink, right? Especially if you drink a diet drink, aspartame. It's like even though after you drink it, it still has that aftertaste, right? And I think the aftertaste of how I've conducted myself as parenting on the sports realm has, we look at as men and dads, we look at our parenting as waffles, and what we say, don't say, and how we act is the syrup, right? And if you don't pour enough syrup in the square of the waffle, if you just put a little bit, it won't go into the other square. And that's how we look at it as dads. We look at it as like, all right, we pour the syrup, and if you don't pour enough, it, you know, not enough syrup goes in all the squares. And you're like, where are you going with this? What happens is when we parent bad in sports, it's like spaghetti. It's all mixed together. Our kids, our family, they don't separate it like the waffle. They don't compartmentalize it like the waffle. It's freaking spaghetti. And what do we talk about spaghetti? Spaghetti, the next day is always what? Better. That's how the pain is when we do it, is the next day. It actually stings even worse because they replay in their mind. So it's just like, it's everywhere. When you parent bad on the sports, it goes into, well, he must think, I never do anything right. Or he must, and I can see that. I'm just kind of going back in my mind. I'm like, gosh, right? And so I gotta stop on the sports to be able to get out of the spaghetti to get into the waffles. Because here's the crazy part. My boys love waffles. And so that's what I got to do. And so right now it is mixed up with my being a good dad, driving them around. But he doesn't get it because it's the spaghetti. It's all mixed up together. And it leaves a bad taste in his mouth. And that's the important part. My breath can stink all day, but he don't want to smell it. Right. And so it's just I gotta step in there. I gotta work on it better. And I saw it this weekend. And what's crazy is he balled this weekend. He played really well this weekend. And I just told him he did a good job. And I think he was concerned or worried. And I just said, man, you played well. But I think I gotta do that more and more so he could believe it. He doesn't believe it right now. Cause I'll be on him. I'll be on him bad.
Man, that was cool. I'm just still trying to figure out how in the hell you mix pancakes, waffles, spaghetti, and parenting in the same metaphor. You are a wordsmith, my brother.
Flex on them. Hey, appreciate
parenting brought to you by Eggo's Chef Boyardee. And cut to it.
Chef Boyardee Steve. Who we got?
Coming up on the Cut to It podcast, we've got Zach Moss, a running back for the Buffalo Bills. He was drafted in 2020 out of the University of Utah, where he's the all-time leading rusher for the school. Zach Moss on the Cut to It podcast.
I'm super excited about this one.
Of course you are. You're a Utah guy.
Yeah. I don't claim all my Utah guys.
You don't claim them all?
Hell no.
But Zach made it, though.
Yeah, there's some.
Zach made it.
There's some I'm like, no. I don't want him on. He didn't go to Utah.
Oh, man. You ain't claiming?
bro. I'm Uncle Leroy.
I don't say you like that. You like that cousin or that uncle? We ain't claim him. That's that other set of Smiths.
Yeah.
That's that side.
You know his mama.
Yeah, right. You know them.
We gotta invite him, we put him in the back.
Hey, you know she coming over. You know she still hide all your stuff, get it off the dresser.
Yeah.
Maybe it's just me. My bad. But anyway, hey, but our first segment is called Get Iced Up. Smitty, go ahead and give him the first one.
All right, depending on how you answer, we're gonna have some follow-ups. And I think I got you on a few of these because you don't know they're coming. So let's snowboarding or skiing.
I've never done neither one, but I probably would pick snowboarding though.
Really? You never? All the times you spent up in Park City?
I did snowmobiling. That was the only thing that really I was able to do. But when I get back, definitely I'm going to try the snowboarding though.
Okay. Now, on my recruiting trip back In 1998. 1998.
I'm sorry, 1998. Say you electric boogaloo into.
Hey, 1998. On my recruiting trip to Utah from California, they took me skiing.
Oh, you've been hooked ever since.
I've been hooked ever since. Did they take you guys skiing and stuff?
They took us snowmobiling. That's how I got hooked on that.
See,
that'd be cool.
Yeah.
It ain't bad. My girl from Park City, so she loved to tell me about the skiing and the snowboarding, but I think I'm going to stick to the snowboarding, though.
Yeah, man. Bro, I've been sneaking up to Utah for years to go skiing.
Yeah.
Yeah, like we, some of the games, we'll go sneak up and watch the games, and then right after that, go back up to Park City. Even though we was in town. Mm. All right. Favorite fruit. What's your favorite fruit?
Pears.
I wouldn't expect that.
Pears.
Yeah. What?
Not a bad answer though.
Asian pear, regular pear.
Oh gosh, he wants to. Got a.
Nah, not too much down. Asian pear. More like just the regular pear. I know my mom used to always she'll go to Sam's or wherever and legit like just bring me just a bag of pear just for myself.
Yeah.
Because I just mess with pears for some reason.
Now, are you one of those where you have to peel it or you just eat it with the skin?
Nah, you should eat it with the skin.
My boy, my son, dude, doesn't like it with the skin.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He'll eat a pear, though, like his apple.
So I do. If I got one of them, you just...
Now, I don't know if you can cook, but if you do a little pear, a little bit of cinnamon and sugar in a cast iron skillet, a little small cast iron skillet, and on some waffles, I'm pretty good, man.
On some waffles?
Yeah.
That sounds like something. I don't really dab too much in the kitchen, but
yeah,
I might have to bring that to my girl one time though.
Just drop that little nugget. Hey, this is what I heard. How much mileage you get out of that one.
All right, would you rather skydive or swim with sharks?
Where's option C?
he put his hand on his head as if he woke up and said, I'm bald.
I'm gonna go with skydive. I can't swim, so put me in there already by itself without the sharks.
Exactly, brother. Me, I don't mess with the slopes. I'm not a good swimmer. Like, stay away from stuff you don't know.
First of all, stop lying. You're not a good swimmer?
I just learned.
Boy, you can't swim.
I just learned 4 years ago.
Yeah. And how much practice have you gotten?
Oh, not a lot.
So I can
save my life if deemed necessary. I ain't about Olympic style swimming. Nah, and I don't want to. To his point, I'm not going in the ocean with sharks. I can already answer for that.
Yeah.
You don't fool with the ocean, right? So I ain't fooling with that. And then skydiving, man. What brothers want to jump out of a plane? No, I'm good.
Zero.
You see what he said? Real.
It's folks that love adrenaline. I'm not doing either. Mm-mm. I'm not doing either. Right.
I don't even want to swim with a minnow, much less a shark.
I just wanted to throw it out there. I like asking some of these because you sometimes you will get an answer that you didn't see coming.
Yeah. Mm-mm.
So favorite sports team growing up, any, it doesn't have to be football, it'd be any sport, whatever it is.
I probably would say the Lakers, just because I was a huge Kobe Bryant fan forever, as long as I know, like ever since I started watching sports. And, you know, just something about the way he, you know, everything about Kobe just, you know, goes without saying. But I think Lakers definitely.
Mm. Okay, cool. I see that one coming.
I didn't either.
Man, I would have assumed.
Definitely one of the Florida teams.
Yeah, man. Like Orlando with Dwight
Howard. Orlando been trash for a minute. I know he would probably gonna say Orlando.
Yeah, look, when he said Orlando, like,
I was just assuming. Goodness gracious. All right. I already know this answer, but where are you from and the place you call your hometown?
I'm from Miami, Florida, and I call Liberty City hometown.
Liberty City. So growing up in Liberty City, how did it shape you? Because you hear about Liberty City. Mm-hmm. You hear about certain areas in Florida, California, Texas, certain areas, you know, Detroit. And you're not necessarily sure how that has shaped each individual.
Yeah. It shaped me because, I mean, in a way that, you know, I had to grow up kind of fast. You know, I lived in a single parent household, five brothers and sisters. You know, my mom and dad went through a divorce. So just seeing all of that and then, you know, kind of having family members that was in the streets still to this day, you kind of have two ways to go right there. You know what I mean? You have either you're going to be in the streets doing certain things and putting yourself in harm, or you can go down a different path, which, you know, a lot of people don't go. You don't really have a lot of, you know, people to help you, tell you how to do it. You know, you're kind of just guiding yourself all the way through that path. And, you know, it's kind of like you just put on a pair of shades, but you can't see out of them. You know, you're just putting on certain pair of shades and going down a different route that a lot of people haven't went, and they really can't help you a lot. So everything you kind of encounter by yourself, you pretty much being the first person to encounter in your family.
Well, you said that, you know, your parents went through a divorce, and I'm sorry to hear that. And how big of a role did both of the, you know, obviously with them going through the divorce, how big of a role did your parents play in your life?
My mom is the reason that I play the game. It's the reason that I've even made it this far. You know, that's why I still have the same hunger even inside me, even though, you know, just because I've made it here, you know, I still want more for, you know, for her, my family, future family and things like that. So that was my entire motivation ever since that part. Seeing all the things she had to go through, moving 3-4 times in a 2-year span, things like that. So all that type of stuff definitely just motivated me. My dad, you know, he was there in the sense of, you know, when football was being played, you know, he was always coming to the games, you know, get you some cleats if you needed them here and there. But, you know, besides that type of stuff, you know, it wasn't really, you know, much of a father figure in that role.
When you hear football was a huge role in my life, what was Zach Moss's life that included football?
I mean, growing up, you know, me and my brothers, we bonded a lot over sports, from basketball to just video games, things like that. But, you know, I've been playing football since about the age of 10 years old. Before that, you know, I can't really remember everything, but, you know, before that, it was mostly just, you know, moms kept us in church, you know, being around family, being around doing those type of things, being family oriented. You know, and football just at the beginning for me was just a hobby. It was just something that I picked up from watching some of my homeboys do when we were younger. You know, they were the ones going out there, spending hours and hours going to, you know, these different camps, doing these different type of trainings with these private coaches and things like that. You know, and after football practice for me, I'll go home, go to the park and then go play basketball outside with, you know, people at the park and things like that. And that was, you know, mostly, you know, my life, but football was just a thing for me to really grab onto that helped me just kind of figure out who I was at the same time. And, you know, helped me just continue to grow as a person and kind of realize what I wanted in life and things like that. You know, like football was a big thing, is a big thing to my in my life because it's brought me so many different things that I probably wouldn't have discovered going down this path if I went a different path.
We have to take a break, and more than anything, we got to pay some bills.
Mm-hmm. Need that check.
I love Cut To It, and I love it even more when you download us and subscribe.
And you can follow us on social media too, Smitty.
Where at?
That's at Cut To It on Instagram.
What about Twitter?
At Cut To It.
Facebook?
Cut To It featuring Steve Smith Sr.
What about online?
And you can follow us at cuttoitpodcast.com where you can buy merch and you can subscribe to us wherever you listen to podcasts.
I got all my answers I got all my questions answered.
That's what I'm here for, brother. cuttoitpodcast.com.
You attended Mater Academy Charter School, which was not the most closest school in proximity, being in Liberty City. Why attend there as opposed to the other high schools that were around you?
The closest school, my home school, would have been Miami Central High School, which is known to be one of the powerhouse football schools in South Florida. But I think the only reason I didn't go there and, you know, the Miami Northwestern's and the St. Thomas's and all these different types of schools is because, you know, Mater Academy was a newer school for one. We're known for sports besides really baseball. And, you know, going back to, you know, my mom definitely wanted me to, you know, stay out of trouble. You know, and that was the biggest thing. My brother went to Miami Northwestern High School where he played football and kind of just got lost and fizzled out in that type of atmosphere. Because, you know, even in the high schools, you see everything that goes on in the streets. They bring in the school. Yeah. When you got, you know, security guards armed at the schools and things like that, you got to go through, you know, metal detectors, all the type of stuff you see in a movie. But, you know, it's real life. It's regular to us when you talk about it to other people. But, you know, she just wanted me to go to a school where I could, you know, focus and just do what I need to do. And at the same time, you know, be myself. And at the time, I didn't, like I said, football was more of a hobby, even in high school. You know, I didn't start taking it seriously until my junior year. So when I went there, it was more about just going somewhere where I can get an education, be safe in a safe zone and everything like that. Because if I wanted to play football for real, definitely going to that school would not have put me in the best predicament.
You played 4 years at Utah, University of Utah. Mm. How did they get you to Utah?
From South Florida.
For one.
Hold on. There's a recording line too now.
I got you.
You know, they didn't get me from Cali because of the snow. I'm just telling you that.
moving right along. Moving right along.
So be careful. Right. Be careful.
I ain't gonna get nobody in trouble.
But it's nothing to get anybody in trouble with. So I just want to make that clear too.
Nah, but you know, I played with two guys at Utah that also played with me in high school, being our quarterback, Tyler Huntley, and one of our receivers in Damari Simpkins. So we all played football in South Florida together in high school. You know, we played Little League football against each other, with each other. And
did Huntley play quarterback in Pop Warner and stuff, or he played all different positions, like all you guys?
Nah, he played quarterback literally from Little League all the way up. Okay. Right? That was his thing.
Did you always play running back or you play other positions?
No, I didn't play running back until my junior year in high school. I played linebacker.
Okay. Yeah. I'm always interested to hear, you know, different positions guys played, because it doesn't always necessarily mean that they're going to play that in the pro.
And that's a frequent transition. Some people may hear that and like linebacker to running back. That happens a lot.
Yeah.
That's very normal.
Yeah.
Yeah, it definitely helped me a lot, just kind of knowing, you know, how the defense is supposed to work and things like that growing up in this new position. But, you know, I played with both of those guys at Hollandale High School, and they first they early enrolled. They were the first two to early enroll. And, you know, Utah wasn't really big on my radar at the time. I was still kind of, you know, feeling things out, trying to figure out where I wanted to go. And at the time I was committed to the U, Miami. And, you know, I was kind of figuring that out. I was like, man, I don't really want to stay so close to home. And at the time they were really bad at the same time. So, and they had just fired, what's his name? Al Golden, I think his name was.
Especially since his your cousins Santana and Cenerese, they're Miami guys too. So,
shoot, that's where it started. Right, these guys start getting drafted, and all of a sudden,
You know, and I thought about all that, but you know, I was able to also talk to them, and they would just let me know, you know, kind of just forge your own path, you know, just because you know they went there, or you know, I've had other family members that went to the U, as in just going to school or things like that. You know, it was all about just forging your own path. Obviously my mom wanted me to go there because it was close to home. And then my dad wanted me to go there because that was his, obviously his team, you know, being from Miami and things like that. So, you know, when that happened, you know, I ended up decommitted from there. And then the biggest two schools for me that I really put my focus on was, or really was three, was, you know, Utah came in late. Tennessee was another school that I thought about, and Kentucky. But overall, I just ended up just picking Utah and Tennessee as the two schools that I felt was going to give me the best opportunity to, you know, do what I wanted to do and, you know, be who I could ultimately be. And, you know, having two guys up there in Utah already, I kind of had an inside look already at what was going on, how things was. Because, you know, once you get to a school – as a freshman and things like that, the coaches, they love you for the first couple weeks. You know, they don't show you that real side, who they are. And those guys kind of let me know how everything was working, how things was rolling. They even gave me the inside scoop of like how the backs was looking. You know what I mean? So my biggest thing was I wanted to come in and play as a freshman. You know, I didn't want no coaches to be sitting there talking about, you know, the whole favoritism thing and all that other type of stuff. So, you know, Utah ended up being the spot for me because mostly because those two guys was out there already. So I was already familiar with those two and the running back position that Utah was, you know, I thought for the taking, even though they had a senior back kind of just, you know, being his first year actually starting. And
who's the running back your freshman year?
Joe Williams.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So I was like, I felt like, all right, man, I can come in there and do what I need to do. So, and that was a big thing for me, just kind of seeing that depth chart part of everything. And then having Coach Erickson, Dennis Erickson, was huge because not every day you get to come across a coach like that.
Coach Erickson is real.
Yeah.
You had this opportunity. And I love because you're still young. So you have enough memory. Right. And the memory and the perspective, you know, I'll be 42. So it's like, I want to say, yeah, of course I was thinking all the good things. Right. And so did you see college as a path to get a degree to go to the NFL for a better life? Like there's no right or wrong answer, but I'm just interested to hear, how did you see college, especially based off your circumstances and surroundings? I am extremely interested to here because you're not old enough to be seasoned to be like, no, I was going to college.
You're fresh out of
you still had to like you still got to like, man, I was just trying to get, I was just trying to make it.
I
definitely was just trying to go to the league. I wasn't worried about
thank you. Because sometimes people lie. They were like, I saw this. Like, if you don't see
don't give the PC answer.
Yeah, and also, too, if you don't see people around you that saying, man, go to college to get a degree, to get a job. Mm-hmm. If you don't see that, that is not embedded in you.
Right.
You're not going to mimic that.
Right.
Yeah.
And if you want to go to the league, all roads point to college.
Yeah.
Exactly.
There's no G League.
Some folks are trying to do it, but there's no minors.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, I wasn't worried about no degree. I didn't take the degree part serious until I ended up coming back my senior year. Mm-hmm. And I was like, all right, I might as well just go ahead and finish it and, you know, kind of do it. You know, my whole thing was coming in, playing 3 years and, you know, getting up out of there. That was, you know, the easiest, fastest route was going in, starting, balling, doing what I got to do, and then get out and, you know, take care of my people. And that was my whole mindset from day one.
How would you describe your 4 years at Utah? You know, well, and not the football part, but just, you know, the regular parts, the Zach Moss part, the parts that, you know, from Liberty City, from South Florida, from just that, from a guy who I'm assuming, you know, it isn't really running into a lot of snow. You know, that isn't, ain't seen a mountain that close. Like, you know, you're walking on the campus, University of Utah, bro. If you take you look up on a clear day, it is gorgeous mountains. Mm-hmm. And if you've never seen that, and I ain't talking about the little molehills. Because, I mean, when you go to on certain coasts, to certain areas, like you go, you see a waterfall. Like you see a waterfall in a picture, and you go somewhere exotic, you like,
oh, that's a waterfall.
No, that's a waterfall. And you see snow, like you get up middle of things, you know, around November, and you can get a several inches of snow, and you're like, man, it's cold out here.
Yeah. Complete culture shock from a geography standpoint.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nah, I mean, outside of the football part of everything, it was real smooth to me. It was a big, like you said, culture shock. And it was just a really good spot for me because I'm a real laid back guy. Like, I don't try to stand out, try and talk much and things like that. I'm more of a, you know, just kicked up, laid back kind of dude. So Utah was kind of like that state for me. You know, I was able to just to, you know, do what I wanted to do, pretty much move incognito in a sense.
Incognito your freshman year, maybe a sophomore.
Yeah, definitely not after that. But but I was able to, you know, just everything was just real smooth, man. Honestly, I think that was some of the best times that I had just with the people I met, guys that I hanged out with, teammates, and just other people around the state that, you know, embraced me and things like that.
Right. Well, to Steve's point, you are the first three-time 1,000-yard rusher in school history, all-time leading rusher at the University of Utah, Pac-12 Offensive Player of the Year your senior year, finished your career with 4,067 rushing yards and 38 rushing touchdowns, both of which are school records. Yeah. So, man, you balled out for sure. Well, you weren't going incognito much long after that.
Man, you got drafted the 86th pick. But what I really like go down the path is you got drafted when things were starting to just get into lockdown, where things were with the virus, things were starting to get where they are. Take yourself, if you had to be drafted this year in these issues, how difficult would it be?
I think it's extremely tough. I think even though I was, you know, going through when it was just happening, you know, I had already done some of the more important things, the combine, the, you know, the people, when you go to the meetings, all those things. And these guys, you know, they don't get a chance to do that this year. You know, everything is over either Zoom, you know, they don't get to see you in person, catch you up on the board, you know, all this physical things that is actually really important.
Why is it important from a person who's went through it?
I think it's just important just because, like, you know, when you walk into a room and you got, you know, either, you know, a coach that you've seen, a famous coach that you've seen when you've grown up on a team, and you have all these, you know, some of these guys you don't really know, but you know they're important because they're in that room. And you're pretty much interviewing for a job that can set you up for, you know, if you do it right and you're blessed enough, it sets you up for life and, you know, your kids and things like that. So from that standpoint, that's the type of mindset I had. You know, I wanted to make sure I came in there and, you know, hopefully, hey, this is what I can do and make sure I made the most best type of lasting impression I can make. Mm-hmm. But, you know, some guys, they get, you know, you get nervous and you start shaking without you kind of even knowing you're doing it. And then you try to tell yourself, stop doing it and you can still be doing it. And you start stuttering over your words and then you're writing on the board, you start having all these little squiggly lines. You got to erase stuff over and over.
They are examining every move. They're examining every body language. How is that individual?
They examine if what chair you sit in. Like I had legit had the coach put a chair in the middle. It was two chairs, and he wanted to see if I was going to sit on the end or if I was going to sit in the middle. Like those things was just like crazy to me. Like those are things that I had to really prep for because that's what they was looking for. Like at the combine, I met with one team and they legit had me do a staring contest just to see how long if I was out for or not. Like that was one of their ways of testing.
Wait, so they wanted to determine if you were an alpha by having a staring contest.
Yeah, like it was legit. Like I did it like three times with the same team, and I was like, I don't know what's going on here, but you know.
What would have happened if you was cockeyed?
But see, I...
that's a very good question. Honest question, right? Well, like,
here's the stupid part, though. But then, if you come in with the, you know, the bravado that's too much,
you're gonna get dinged for it.
So that's one of those things, you know, you can't win for losing.
Yeah.
And it's like we're not gonna ask you, but I know, I'm guessing, that team did not finish very well this year, did they?
They actually were solid. They were solid this year. They made the playoffs. They made the playoffs. Okay. All
right.
Yeah. Yeah. I just thought it was weird, but it was crazy though.
Yeah. I'm telling you, they be doing some goofy stuff.
Every time you tell me about this, I learn something new.
You get enough smart people in the room, you find out it's a whole bunch of dummies. Man, having to, you know, socially distance, how has things been for you?
For me, you know, I'm an introvert, yep, for one. So, you know, I like to be by myself most as I possibly can, you know. So COVID for me wasn't a terrible thing, as in, you know, not being able to get to move around, you know, and hanging out with people and things like that. You know, I had my girl with me the entire time. And honestly, you know, to a certain degree, that was at times the most that I needed. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it was hard because I was in Cali during the pre-draft times, and I didn't leave Cali until I came out here for training camp, to Buffalo for training camp. So I didn't even get a chance to, you know, during that entire time, you know, that's usually when guys will go home after the draft or go home after, you know, some type of things and go home and try and spend time with their family and things like that. But for me, it was a little bit different because I didn't get a chance to really do that as much as I would have liked. I went home in the beginning of last year from January to about before training camp one time for a week, right? So that entire time I wasn't home. And then being in college, you don't go home like whenever you want. Like you just can't get up and go. And being all the way in Utah, it was a lot more hard for me to get anywhere. That's a 5-hour flight for one. So I hadn't been home in a minute. And that was probably the toughest part because, you know, I haven't been home for a lot of time, being away from home for 4 years in college, going home probably, you know, here and there over 4 years. That was the hardest part for me, just not being able to be around my family, be around my nieces and my nephews and my brothers and my sisters and, you know, just the entire family and things like that.
So you were drafted by the Buffalo Bills. Your running backs coach said you're a throwback guy. The Bills GM said you're a player that loves confrontation. How would you describe yourself as a running back?
Definitely very, very physical. You know, that's the way I like to play the game. I like to set the tone, you know, just for myself and for my team. And, you know, hope that those guys just follow that suit. Because when I'm coming out to play, when I'm going on that field, you know, I'm definitely leaving everything I got, no matter what knickknacks I got. You know, I'm playing tough as shit as much as I possibly can.
I think it's about that time. Just take a little breather.
Cut to it. Cut to it. Let's get down to it. Cut to it.
Hey, Gerard, where did you get that t-shirt?
You mean this thing?
Oh, yes.
I got it from cuttoitpodcast.com, where we have exclusive merchandise. Shout out to our guys at 704 Shop. But yeah, you can go on, buy you a t-shirt, subscribe to us wherever you listen to podcasts.
every coach has their own way of practicing. And I know Coach McDermott because he was, you know, I had him in Carolina as defense coordinator. And I also been at Buffalo and I've seen how they practice. How was practice for you when you first came out there based off, you know, what you've talked about?
When I first got there, one, I did not know what to expect, what drills we was doing, you know, all this type of stuff, because we didn't have OTAs and all that other stuff. You know, it was straight from Zoom and then, you know, straight to the field pretty much. But, you know, it was definitely rough. You know, I had a lot of rough days where I came out of it like, damn, I don't want to watch that film. You know what I mean? Like, damn, I know I got to get better at this and things like that. So it was a lot of just, you know, a lot of up and down days, but, you know, I try to do my best to where I can just try to do my best to where I can piece good days together and just start to try and find a rhythm in the offense, in the team, and kind of just, you know, find my role as a player.
So has the newness of being an NFL player, has it worn off yet?
No, I don't think it ever wears off. I don't think that's something that would happen for me. I'm just, you know, it's something new every year. You know what I mean? Like football is consistently changing. You know, the coaches can change, players can change around you and things like that. So, you know, I think the best way to try and stay the best at something you do is to always attack it as if it's something that's new to you. You know, I think once you start getting comfortable, that's when you get passed up. Like, all right, I rushed for 1,000 yards, you know, 3-4 times. You know, okay, I'm feeling, you know, all right, well, I got it. You know what I mean? And that's when somebody comes in. Now you looking like, man, I shouldn't have been taking a break when I should have been working.
You know, everyone has a reaction when they get drafted, you know. So what was your initial reaction of you got drafted, you know, you're on the Buffalo Bills. What's in your mind? Like, I want to come in and do what?
Want to make sure that I play. That was the biggest thing. You know, I didn't want to come in and be a draft pick that has to, you know, sit back and kind of still learn the offense after being in all these Zoom calls and being in, you know, weeks and weeks of having a chance to learn the playbook. You know, I wanted to make sure that I came as prepared as possible to make sure that I was able to put out what I know I can do and then also be able to be coachable to learn more things about my game and have a chance to just continue to try and be a well-rounded player in this first year.
You had a pretty bad injury. What has it been like for you through this process to get back on the road of recovery?
Right now it hasn't really been, from a physical standpoint, tough. Mentally, you know, I feel a little bit in a sense a little bit more comfortable with it because I've had an injury before back in college where I tore my meniscus and there was surgery needed and coming back from that and going into a senior season and all that type of stuff that was, you know, I guess you'd say pressure around all that type of stuff. So when it comes to this, I feel as if I'm in some type of a familiar territory and I know what it takes, how you have to attack rehabs. You have to be in a positive mindset every single day when you come in there. You can't go in there with a negative mindset like, man, why I do this? Why I got to do that? It hurt. You know, you got to, even when you leave the facility, go home, stretch, all this type of stuff, you still need to be able to do things. So I was able to kind of go through all those hardships my first time around with a surgery that took me off the field. And I went through those times where it was dark days, not talking to people, not leaving the house, going to rehab, like, damn, I don't want to do this day, you know, putting off bad vibes to the trainers, acting like they've done something and all that type of stuff. So now with this, you know,
did you talk to him about my rehab?
No, but that was going to be my follow-up. Yeah. So you just walked right into it.
Man, I feel like he gave you a laundry list of my rehab.
I did not leak any information to Zach prior to this interview.
Zach got the paper up like,
let me hit on these bullet points he gave me, because this is all the shit that Steve went through when he did his same rehab when he tore his Achilles.
Hey, can't have bad vibes. I'm like,
check. Bad vibes, check.
Can't be this, check. goodness gracious, man, that boy, this old school boy right here.
Yeah, yeah.
He got all the good vibes. I'm over there like, every time you say something, I'm like.
Because it's relatable though, right?
It's very relatable. I couldn't be that positive.
You can be that. But he's saying it was, but he just said every day wasn't a good day.
I know, but he said he's going through it. Like, yeah. I would feel it and live it, yeah, and walk it, or yeah, or hobble it, or yeah, you know, scooter it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jeez.
That was definitely me, my first going surgery through, because that was like, man, I tore my meniscus back in January of 2018, right? And no one knew it was torn. I didn't even know it was torn, right? And I played 9 games my junior season with it. And, you know, my whole mindset is, all right, I'm at that point now where I'm like, you know, I'm putting up numbers. You know, I've ran for 1,000 yards in the first 7-8 games or whatever. And, you know, we're looking like we're going to be able to make it to the Pac-12 championship game. And, you know, Tyler gets hurt. He breaks his collarbone. So I'm like, all right, everything's on me, right? And throughout this entire time, my meniscus has been torn. You know, it was times where I just bend my knee. If I'm taking a knee or if I get into my bed and my knee will lock up. But I've had 3 MRIs during this entire time and nothing popped up on the MRI. So from that standpoint, I'm not thinking anything terrible can happen to me right now. Had certain injuries and I'm going through them through the season and I'm just doing my thing. I'm having my best year as a collegiate player. And then the injury happens, you know, I'm just devastated because I'm like, man, I was going to come here, do 3 years, ball out, go to the league and get drafted and, you know, take care of my family. And then the injury happens and it's a year delayed now where you can't do what you wanted to do. You feel like all your dreams have just been shattered and all this type of stuff. So, you know, on top of the surgery and the rehab, I had all of those feelings as well, where, you know, I definitely went into just a dark mode where I just wasn't, you know, my regular self.
You mentioned that dark mode. How do you take care of yourself? How do you take care of your mental? You've mentioned the torn meniscus, now the ankle injury. How does Zach self-care?
For me, I mean, that point right there definitely taught me a lot about myself. Cause I never have been tested mentally in that form. So that showed me a lot about myself. It told me what I could handle as a person at this point in my life and what I couldn't handle. And, you know, if I needed to rely on people, you know, I have my girlfriend there who, to this day, if I need something, and it comes to that mental part, that's a person that I can, you know, kind of shoulder something off in a sense until I'm able to just really fully get myself back together and, you know, that, you know, pretty much everything's going to be fine and, you know, can just continue to just to move along.
Now that you've been in the league, you've obviously seen the highs and the lows, you've been injured. What do you believe you can get out of this game?
That's a good question. For one, I know I want to be one of the better players to ever play this game. And that's another thing that for me was, it's always been a passion and something that drove me. And it's sometimes when I'm sitting at home or I'm going through rehab and I'm like, man, I gotta go through all these things to be great. You know, no one said being great is easy. So I definitely think I can hopefully one day when it's all said and done, after I walk away from the game, I want to know that I was dominant on every level that I played and want to be someone that, you know, peers of the game that I played with respected a lot and knew that I brought it each and every day, you know, with along with, you know, family security and things like that.
All right, so our last segment, Zach, is called the Deep Three. They're just 3 questions that we ask to take things to a deeper level, to figure out who you are outside of being a football player. So, Smitty, go ahead and give him the first one of the Deep Three.
All right. Who is Zach Moss?
Zach Moss is a guy who is definitely self-driven, you know, family-oriented guy, loves to have a good time with people that he cares about and loves. And, you know, just try to see the best in people and try to get the best out of life. And just try to see every day at the best that I can possibly see it. You know, there's a lot of things going on around the world. And, you know, being in the position that I'm in, you know, I try to be as grateful as I can for that, because I can be a lot of different places in this world right now. I could have been born in a lot of different places, born to a lot of different families and things like that. So I just try to take what God blessed me with and the people that he put around me, and take everything good or bad as a blessing and try to learn from y'all.
All right. So who is Zach Moss in 5 years?
Hopefully he's a better version of himself today. And, you know, hopefully one of the better backs in this league, and, you know, hopefully have a family, married, and, you know, just seeing life, you know, continue to grow on me, and just become a better person. And, you know, hopefully I'm being able to do a lot of good things around, you know, the communities that I'm able to be in.
You know, you haven't had the chance to go back home, you know, but at some point you will get the chance to, you know, as things get back to normal or things, whatever normal looks like. For all the little kids and all the young guys that are now looking up to you, you know, how do you plan, or do you desire to, or have any plans to really give back to your community, and not your community in Florida? You know, I guess what place or what do you believe will be your community?
For one, I just want to, you know, hopefully if I'm blessed to be in a position to do, you know, things like that, you know, for one, I want to be able to do something where I try to give and continue to, you know, meet different people who are also able to help me bring, you know, a vision to life and things like that. But just try to give everyone a chance at equality, from, you know, just teaching them about equality to the academic part about equality. You see all these, how the HBCUs nowadays are starting to become more, you know, prevalent in the, you know, in society as a whole, and not just to African-Americans, but, you know, just giving people a chance to, you know, be able to go to a library, showing that, hey, a library is not the worst thing in the world, and just letting them know that you, just because you come from a certain place doesn't mean you don't have these same equal opportunities to learn the right way, to, you know, enhance your learning, enhance who you are as a person, and to try different things and go around the world, different places. And that was one of the biggest reasons why I also chose to go away from being home and go to college there, was to just try and, you know, broaden myself and learn who I was as a person. And going to Utah was, I thought, was the best place, because it gave me a chance to see different people, see how people lived in different places, because I didn't even know where Utah was on a map until I got out there.
Wow. That's pretty cool. Well, we've had a great time with you, man. Appreciate you taking the time.
Yeah, man. I appreciate you guys letting me hop on with y'all, man.
You are a unique person. You are well worth it. You are competent. And most of all, you're lovable. I'm Steve Smith Sr.
I'm Gerard Littlejohn.
And this is Cut to It.
Cut to It with Steve Smith Sr. That is me. Is a production of Cut to It LLC, Balto Creative Media, The Black Effect, and iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
From Cut to It, executive producer Steve Smith Sr., co-host Gerard Littlejohn, talent and booking manager Joe Fushi, social media team Wesley Robinson and John Cho. From Balto Creative Media, Cut to It is produced by Brian Baltashevich and Meredith Carter, with production assistance by Alex Lebrecht, production coordinator Taylor Robinson. Theme music by Alex Johnson, lyrics and vocals by Anthony Hamilton.
You ain't heard about it, then we're about to let you know.
You know it's on.
It's on.